Lake Effect continues now. I'm Bonnie North. Wisconsin's expansive farm fields, red barns, and country towns are emblematic of the state's rural tradition. Imagine the people in these bucolic settings, and most of us picture white people. There may be German, Norwegian, or Irish, but usually they're white. But between Madison and La Crosse lies a valley that defies all stereotypes of the rural Midwest. Hillsboro, in Vernon County's Cheyenne Valley, was once home to Wisconsin's largest integrated farming community. Freed slaves and black pioneers settled the region in the 1800s. They were joined by European immigrants and Native Americans, and an unusual community grew up. Descendants of the original settlers still get together for colorful reunions. Last year, a small group of Cheyenne Valley family members, white, black, and brown, all gathered at Cardinal Stritch University to share their stories with an equally diverse group of students. Some grew up in the valley, some spent wild and wonderful summers there. They battled the poverty and celebrated the pride their ancestors handed down.
My name is Wilbur Arms. I'm descended from Samuel Arms and Otis Arms and Cecil Arms. Samuel was about 9-10 years old when he ran away for the first time from the Georgia plantation. And when he was caught, he was returned to the plantation, and shortly after that, within a couple of years, Sherman's army came through, and Lieutenant took a liking to him and made him their drummer for a battle. And he spent the rest of his time with Sherman's army until Sherman's army came through Illinois, and they were going to fight in the Black Hawk War. And my great-grandfather had decided he had seen enough people dying, so he left Illinois and came to Wisconsin, where he broke horses for farmers in the area and for in the military. Till he aged a little more, he heard about the Cheyenne Valley and eventually purchased land in the Cheyenne Valley and started to raise his family. We had Europeans coming into the area, and they brought no prejudice with them. They were suffering just as much hardships as the escaped slaves, the free African-Americans, the Indians that were trying to avoid being put on reservations. So they all formed a camaraderie, a common goal to live and prosper together. Everyone helped each other. They depended on each other. And they married each other.
I never considered black and white. I was born in Bugby Hollow, just off of what they called Rebels Valley at that time. My grandparents, they married in 1897, and they had 13 children. She was a quarter Cherokee.
My family involves several of the original settlers, the Rebels side, the Roberts, the Shivers. When I grew up there, we didn't know any difference. Grandma was grandma, and LG was LG, was our grandfather. And we never thought of them as black or white, which one was and the other one was. And I brought my children up the same way, to be tolerant of others, and people are who they are.
My name is Rita Marie Witter. I'm an Arms descendant. I'm the great-granddaughter of Samuel Arms. My father, actually it would be great-great-granddaughter. My father is Lewis Arms, and I spent my summers in Cheyenne Valley on Otis and Blanche Arms' farm, playing with my cousins. Aunt Blanche had beautiful flower beds. She had to have a full lot of flowers, and then the other gardens that she had were vegetables. A lot of beans. We ended up picking beans through the summer. A lot of fishing, because that was part of living off the land. They had the cow, and so we gathered milk and eggs out of the barn with the animals, and deer hunting, a lot of deer hunting. So they had a freezer. There was a lot of meat in there. And she churned butter, which was always fun to watch. And I wish to this day I had some of that churned butter, because there was nothing that compares to that flavor. I'm biracial. I darkened up pretty good in the summer, so I think that I was pretty dark. Not as dark as some of my cousins, but we had lots of different shades in the family. And I would have other cousins that would show up that were blue-eyed, blonde-haired. And it didn't matter. We all hung out together, going up over the hills and visiting other neighbor kids and trying to jump horseback and go fishing and catch turtles and stuff like that.
My name is Iva Mae Roberts Story. I'm 66 years old. I've been married almost 48 years, the same man. So, and I have one daughter and two stepdaughters. My mother is the one who grew up in the valley. I didn't, but I did spend a lot of fun times there. Almost all of our holidays, we would go down to visit Grandma. One of my very favorite ones was going like on Easter. Their driveway was just a dirt driveway. And in the springtime, it was very muddy. And my uncle, John Roberts, would come out to the main road, and we would park the car out there. Uncle John would come out with a wagon and occasionally a manure spreader that had been filled with hay. And he'd load all of us up into the whatever it was he brought and take us to the house. And that's how we got back and forth. And that's one of my very favorite memories of that time.
My great uncle, he used to take me to town, and he'd point out different little white boys and little white girls and say, "That's your cousin, that's your first cousin, that's your, come on over here, talk to him, talk to him." And they'd be bashful and everything, and I'd be bashful too, because I say, how can they be my cousin, you know?
During the 60s, when I would return home and go to school, I spent my summers in the Cheyenne Valley, so I would do the school year in Madison on the east side, and I was in an interracially mixed school, and there was tension there, and I had to figure out where I thought I belonged in that group, you know, and I never had to think about that before.
Sometimes they think you're not as good as they are, or shouldn't have the same things as they have. I didn't think it was good at the time, but as I look back at it, it made me realize that if you're going to have anything, you have to put the time in, the self-discipline, the work ethic. And a lot of times where I would have given up on something, I kept at it until I was as accomplished or as good at doing something as anybody else was.
I'm very proud of this family heritage. Every generation of it has carried down so much to their children. And, you know, my parents had 12 of us. I'm from a family of 12 children. My mother was from a family of 15 children. And, you know, what one had, they shared with the others. It didn't matter. That's the way we all grew up. I remember one Christmas, we had some neighbors who had less than we did. And my mother had us go through the few toys that we had and sort out some to take and give to those other children. And, yeah, that's a special thing.
We still own a small farm there in the area, and we have our doors open just like they always were. Anyone coming through the area, they stop and they join us for dinner. We don't turn anyone away, and it's never been a question of race or what they look like or how they dressed or how they talked. It's always been an exchange of stories and camaraderie. I followed Martin Luther King's philosophy as well as Father Grappi's philosophy, and as well as my father's and his father's and his father's philosophy. Color has nothing to do with it. It's the content of the individual. It's what you bring to the table and how you help each other to survive.
Descendants of the original settlers of Wisconsin's Cheyenne Valley gathered at Cardinal Stritch University last year to talk about their childhoods in and around Hillsboro, once Wisconsin's largest African-American settlement. We heard the voices of Wilbur Arms, Claude Bugby, Barb Stanek, Rita Mae Witter, Iva Mae Roberts' story, and Mike Thompson. Jane Hamden produced our feature, which originally aired in 2008. That is all the time we have for Lake Effect today. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we continue our Project Milwaukee examination of the history of race relations in Milwaukee. We move into the civil rights era, a conversation with Peggy Rosga, the widow of Father Grappi. We'll take a walking tour of important places in Milwaukee's civil rights movement. And we'll talk with former reporter Frank Okafor about reporting on the civil rights movement as it was happening. Project Milwaukee is a joint effort with the WUWM News Department. If you missed our first Project Milwaukee news stories this morning, you can listen to them on our website, wuwm.com/Project Milwaukee. Our news reports kicked off by looking at the early history of blacks and whites living together in Milwaukee and whether there's housing integration today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow for more of Lake Effect, 10 in the morning and 11 at night on 89.7 WUWMHD, Milwaukee Public Radio.